Is there a book specifically for Shlomo HaMelech?
There are many. We're continuing with our learning of Megillat Esther. I apologize in advance. You know that ordinarily I don't come with a cell phone to class, but one of the guys just entered the army yesterday and he was concerned that there might be halachic questions that would arise, and I promised him I'd be on call for him, so the cell phone's here and it's on. And I don't expect any phone calls, but if there will be, it's probably only him. So I apologize, but I'd do it for any one of you too. So at least you should understand. We had learned last time, as an introduction to the book of Esther, we had learned about the destruction of the first temple, the exile of the northern 10 tribes, firstly by the Assyrian king Sennacherib, and then finally the capture of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and the exile of Israel. We mentioned Yirmiyahu's prophecy that in 70 years the Jews will return. It's going to take time, and so Yirmiyahu tells the Jews out in Babylon, build homes. Don't assume you're coming back so fast. Nebuchadnezzar exiles all of Israel, destroys the Beit HaMikdash, and he takes children from the exiled leaders from the tribe of Judea, of Yehuda, and he has them taught in his palace, fed from his food, and trained to be his advisors. And among these children, there is Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, and he converts their names to Babylonian names. And after 3 years of education, they're brought before him, and Nebuchadnezzar is amazed with the wisdom of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And then Nebuchadnezzar has a dream of a great idol that was crushed by a rock. He forgets what he dreamt, and he calls in all his advisors, and when they can't figure out what he dreamt, he orders all his advisors killed. When the executioner comes to Daniel, Daniel asks him, give me a little bit of time, and then Daniel summons Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to pray, and God reveals to him the dream and its interpretation, which he gives to Nebuchadnezzar, about the four kingdoms that would rule the earth before the Mashiach comes. The vision that he saw of this great idol is a representation of the four kingdoms that would rule the world. The Babylonian Empire together with the Kassidim, and then the Persians with the Medes would overtake the Babylonian Empire. And our story of the Megillah takes place during that period of the Persian Empire. After hearing the interpretation and hearing that ultimately all the kingdoms will be subservient to the Mashiach, so Nebuchadnezzar erects a grand idol and he threatens the Jews that everyone must bow to that idol or else they will be killed. And he sets up a huge burning furnace and he has his orchestra play music and the Jews are instructed that they all must bow or else they will be killed. And the Jews do bow, except for Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And it seems Daniel was exempt from all this. The idea is, Nebuchadnezzar figures, if I can sever the tie between the Jewish people and God, then I can ensure that the Mashiach never comes, and my power can be eternal. My empire can continue forever. Nebuchadnezzar understands the interpretation that there is an order to world history. And the world history is leading towards that end of the Mashiach. And he figures if I could sever that end, then I could put a pause to the clock of world history moving forward. And he correctly understands that the way to do that is to cause the Jewish people to sin. According to the Gemara and Megillah, our Megillah is a direct result of the Jews bowing down to that idol. And so Nebuchadnezzar had it right. When Nebuchadnezzar said, if I could get them to sin, then God will turn his back on them, well, that's what the Megillah is all about. And we have a tradition, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, that because of that sin, Hashem allowed for Haman to write a decree to annihilate the Jews. And in the Megillah we find that Mordechai tears his clothes, and Esther sends word to Mordechai, what'd you tear your clothes for? And Mordechai says, it's been revealed to me. Eliyahu appeared to Mordechai. An angel came to Mordechai and showed him that up in heaven they also wrote a decree for the annihilation of the Jewish people. Nebuchadnezzar dreams of a great tree that has a tremendous amount of animals living in its shade and in its branches, and then this tree is cut down, but its roots will be encased in the ground, and that tree is a representation of what will happen to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is turned into an animal, or whatever that means. He is animal-like for 7 periods. The simple understanding is 7 years. And then he returns. He returns to his kingdom. And he sends a letter out. In the book of Daniel, we have the letter recounting what happened, that Hashem warned him of all this. After Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar rules, and Daniel has a dream of 4 wild animals, which represent the 4 kingdoms until the Mashiach. In his 3rd year, Belshazzar goes to war with the Persian Mede Empire. Belshazzar calculates the 70 years that Yirmiyahu spoke about and figures that they are up. And so when he wins a battle, he wants to rejoice, and he takes out the vessels of the temple. And when he takes out the vessels of the temple, so a miraculous hand appears and starts writing on the wall. And no one can figure out the writing, until Daniel comes in and explains to him that God says his empire is over. And that night, Belshazzar is assassinated. The Persian Medes wage their attack, and the Babylonian Empire comes to a close, and the Persian Mede Empire takes over. Belshazzar used the vessels of the temple because he figured the 70 years were up. After Belshazzar, we have Dariavesh, and Daniel calculates the 70 years and figures the 70 years are up, redemption should come, and it doesn't. And so Daniel starts looking over the calendar again and doing the calculations again. The next year we have Koresh. And Koresh tells the Jews, you guys can start rebuilding the temple. That very year, Haman's children send word back to the king and tell him, if you let them build that temple, they will rebel against you. And so the Persian Mede Empire rescinds its license. They tell the Jewish people they cannot continue building the temple, and then Koresh's empire comes to a close, and then Ahasuerus comes to power. And so our Megillah begins when Ahasuerus comes to power. A short time earlier in the kingdom of Koresh, they permitted the Jews to rebuild the temple, and then they said stop, because they realized the Jews might wage a rebellion if they're permitted to rebuild their temple. And now our Megillah begins. Before we begin the Megillah, maybe we should do a quick overview of the storyline. We'll do a quick overview of the story of the Megillah, and then we'll start learning it with more depth.